there isn't going to be another candle bus until about 3 or 4 o'clock.
Not if the CEO says different. I'm sure that he can try his best to help.
The challenge is that this sometimes uses ZR. Now, she described this van as a small white van.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her if it was a new driver, right? And I said to her, well, if it's a new driver, why, when he approached the bus stop, couldn't he have slowed down at least and tried to find out if there was anybody going to Kendall? She said, I mean, that's not his job. You should be standing up in the road looking to see, basically, when the vans were coming. But if we are looking for a bus, then we would not be looking for a small white van.
Mm-hmm,
how are commuters supposed to know to look for a small white van if the transport board has changed the capacity, the vehicle for Kendall, right? There has to be a way to communicate to commuters that the mode of transport has changed. Whether or not the drivers of the ZR who are cooperating with the Barbados Transport Board slow down, show some better mode of signage, because I didn't see. When I sit here, I look to see basically which of the thousands of ZRs are making the right turn from down, coming down from Purity Bakeries, and which vehicles are coming up from the transport board depot. Sometimes it is difficult to tell because there are all of these trees that are planted here. You could miss one if you look in the opposite direction, something is happening, something distracts you. You could miss a vehicle coming, right? But I'm saying that the onus is on the Barbados Transport Board to communicate to its commuters that they have changed the mode of transport for a particular schedule route. And the onus is on the Barbados Transport Board to ensure that its commuters are facilitated by every single means. I'm on the road, sorry.
That's all right. I'm hoping that you get a bus.
Whatever it takes, customer service has to be at its highest. And if he has to stop, he has to toot his horn, and he has to do whatever, he has to show that candle sign on the left-hand side of his window. He has to show that candle sign on the front left of his window. Then he has to do that. I have to sit here now for another 3 hours, because if I don't do that, I have to now wait another 2 hours for a call at Savannah, if there's going to be one, and walk at least 2 miles to my home. And if I have to pay the extra taxes that the government is asking for, and they want my support, they cannot treat commuters like second-class citizens. It isn't fair to us. And I just don't want the Barbados Transport Authority to be listening. I want the Prime Minister's office and I want the Ministry of Transport to be listening. And if I sound angry, it is because I am angry. Because if I do not speak out for my rights and the rights of other commuters, who will? Who will? Who is going to demand that we are treated with some dignity? If you are a commuter yourself and you have to call the transport board, they treat you in a manner, they strip you of your dignity simply by the words that they use, the phrasing that they use. She slammed the phone down in my ear. Right, because she was mad because she knew she had done wrong. I had asked her to simply get in touch with the Barbados Transport Authority and ask the van if they would wait or come back for me. I can't sit here for another 4 hours.
Call
she
is
thinks
coming
that
through
she's
here
dealing
now.
With a regular customer. I'm permanently disabled, but at least I can speak for my own rights. How is it fair?
Okay. Hold on one sec. Don't move.
How does it serve Barbadians? How does what they are doing serve Barbadians?
We were trying to get I know you want, and people are hearing you, and trust me, those of us, and I mean, I don't catch the bus, but doesn't mean I can't empathize with your situation, and a lot of people here are messaging, can feel your pain. We have reached out, and I believe he's calling. Yes, okay, the CEO is calling. We've messaged him about 4 times about getting the Kendall bus, and hopefully offer you an explanation and an apology for what happened to you this morning. And as you said, on behalf of all the other commuters that are going through the same thing. Now, there's some people who would have seen an improvement of the service, some, and then obviously in some cases, which I believe St. John area being one of those areas that needs some more improvement, because it's not only Kendall, it's Sargent Street and so on and so forth, that people have been concerned about the buses and how frequent they come. Is he on the other line? Can we join the... No? Okay. Are we going to get him to come in? But you hang tight. A bus, as far as I understand, will be coming. You are not in the bus terminal itself, correct? Oh, she's gone? Okay. All right. We'll take that information. Thank you. Good morning, down to Brass Stacks. Hello?
Hello. Good morning.
Fabian.
Hi,
Johanna. Hi, sorry we couldn't join the call, but we have a really, really upset person, lady. And I mean, she is seems to be physically challenged, but again, there's no excuse whether able-bodied or not. She's been waiting for the Kendall bus now for hours, and she really didn't appreciate the way she was treated. I understand that she made a phone call, and she said that the phone went down in her ears, etc., which in that we're hoping that she can call back to get the number, because we lost her and I wanted to get the contact information. Give us an update, if you can, of what's happening with the St. John route in particular.
Well, first, I'm extremely concerned about the part where you say the phone was cut off in her ear. She was high up on, or was it? I am very concerned about that part.
Yeah.
Because if a commuter is seeking information from the transport board, I will hope that was a technical issue or nothing else.
Mm-hmm. We're not sure if it was a disconnection with a cell phone, or it could have been, but we're not sure. We are hoping to get her back on the line.
Well, I am really sorry to hear that her experience was one which was less than tearful. So that is saddening to me, as well as given the amount of work we have been trying to do as it relates to our customer services. Mm-hmm. But for the Kendall, my records would say that we had a 7:15, a 9:15, an 11:15, and a 12:15 schedule.
From 7 to 12:15?
We had a 7:15, 9:15, 11:15, and 12:15, a combination of transport board buses, mm-hmm. as well as the top vehicles. Because remember that the transport board also uses ZRs, minibuses, and then there are some painted B buses that are not in any of those colors, maybe all white or whatever, mm-hmm. which has signs.
They're all properly identified. Okay.
Yeah, they're identified by the decal on the front of the bus as well as the signage. I don't know if it's a case where the person did not see or did not recognize that was their bus. So if that's the case, it's something they have to look into as it relates to how people can easily identify that is their bus that's going to their location. Maybe that might be a challenge as well. Mm-hmm. They have to investigate that part. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the records that I have say that we had our last service to Kendall would have been a top ZR 518, which departed the Fairchild Street Terminal at 11:15. And prior to that would have been a BM 206, which is a Marco Polo going at 9:15.
Out of the terminal?
Leaving Fairchild Street, yeah.
Okay. I was trying to ask if she was at a bus stop or in the terminal. She was just waiting outside, you know, on the nearest bus stop. But we don't have that in case of, I don't think anybody's going off route to get to the first bus stop. I don't think that's possible, correct? Coming out of the bus stand.
No, cannot be back turn. It's only one way.
Okay, exactly. But what we can do, apart from St. John, because you and I are going to have to speak a little later, because what we'll do for you is to make sure I get the clip and so that you can hear it in its entirety, because I know you were in a meeting earlier, so you didn't catch it from the beginning.
Yeah, but I actually have the meeting. I have several people sitting in the room waiting on me to return because they were messaging me.
No problem. We can talk about St. Patrick's also is messaging here to say that they're having some problems. I'm sorry to need to trap you in right now, but we do need to, according to this person, improve the service to St. Patrick. Even though they have in three PSVs, they said, but it's still not enough for the people. Basically, that's what they're saying. But I know you have to go. We will compile the information for you from here, and we will share it with you. I am hopeful that you can still send a bus, even though the schedule was that you can help this lady out and other people, because she's saying the College Savannah would help, but then she'll have to walk a long way in order to get.
No, there is a schedule 12:15.
She's outside. Okay, she's outside the QEH at the bus stop. That's what we're seeing here. All right, she's behind. She said she's sitting behind the hospital. So obviously she's not in the terminal. She's sitting behind the hospital at the bus stop. So we would be really grateful, everyone, if we can get her a bus. She's been there for 3-4 hours almost. That's what she's saying. So even though those buses went at 9:15 and different times, according to her, she's been out there since about 9:30 or so. All right?
Okay.
So I know you guys are going to, I know you are going to make sure she gets home. All right? Thank you so
much. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Fabian. This is Down to Brass House. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. We're going up until 1 p.m. We're going to get some WhatsApps in quickly. A person messaged me and said, Joanne, she said about 4 times she's at the bus stop behind the hospital. Yes, I heard, but truthfully, I was actually on 2 different phones trying to get the CEO, which I must commend Fabian Wharton, the CEO of the Transport Board, for coming and leaving a meeting to do this. I can tell you, being a former government worker, not very many executives do that. They will hear about something and they don't come and confront the problem on brass tacks, let alone send a message. So let me commend Fabian Wharton for doing that. And to the person who put the phone down in the young lady's ears, or the allegation that was made, rather, I hope that they get to the bottom of that situation. One writer says it's very true what the lady at the bus stop is saying about Kendall. It hardly gets a bus, and they need to let commuters know that the Transport Authority is being used on that route. And someone said, improvement of service, give me a break. I do believe, and I do know for a fact, that there are more buses than they had before under the CEO. But of course, there's still some things that have to be done. And Kendall, the areas of St. John, is definitely one of those areas. Someone else here writes, this really isn't good enough at all. We really need to do better. Come on, Transport Board. When will staff see the human side in things and not be so disrespectful and dismissive of daily commuters? And it goes on and on and on regarding the lady and empathy going out to that lady. I can tell you that I am part of a commuter advocacy program. I can guarantee you that when I leave here at 1 o'clock, I will be meeting with Mr. Wharton on some of these issues and to see how best we can all get it rectified. The commuter advocacy program speaks on behalf of commuters. They don't speak on behalf of the authority or the Transport Authority or the Transport Board. They really speak on behalf of the commuters. So to the lady who's waiting, I hope you're not waiting anymore. I pray to God that the bus is there. And to the Transport Board, I agree with the commuters. We need to do better. But I still want to thank the CEO for coming and leaving his meeting to address this problem. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mrs.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, ever since this is, I really don't like to reply to callers. Because really, I was on this phone so long that I don't know. I just don't understand. But listen to what I'm going to say now. This is, I'm speaking about Tallboy. And before I get to the tallboy issue, I would like you to know, you and Adam Moderators, that if I didn't call the station like any other caller, my questions don't be to the moderator to answer. But if the moderator could answer it, okay, they could answer it. For instance, a moderator like Dennis Johnson, if you come on the program with Dennis Johnson and he don't know, he will tell you things he don't know, but he will look into it. And then sometimes before the program ends, Dennis Johnson just asks what you call him about. So I don't call that the moderators will answer it, but if they could, he'd be grateful. Now let me get to tall boy. On the 25th of May 2018, the Barbados Leopard take over the range of power or the range of leadership in this country. But before the election, Chris Sinclair, the former Minister of Finance, and Michael Ashley, the Minister of Transport and Work at that time, unless they misled me in Parliament, raised $100 million for road improvement. And they lose the range of power before the money was spent. Or in other words, when this government take up the range of power, there were $100 million for road improvement that they had the opportunity of using it in the way they feel like. I don't know which road to do first, which road to do last, or nothing. I know that one of the roads that was done after that $100 million is Cogiston Road, going to the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I know another one that was resurfaced after the same money, that is for himself, which tall boy should know about, because he's not too far from there. What I am saying is, I would like very people correcting people like Alvin, that they will correct tall boy. Tall boy and the gentleman called the staff man just come and they say one thing, criticizing the last government over. This is 20 months that government gone. 30 left. And they're still a connect. Nobody don't tell them nothing. Let me move on. I just would let him to know that this government had $100 million when they took over a loan from the South American financial institution. Plus, the money that was voted for in the estimates. So they only had $100 million for road improvement. They had $100 million plus. Let me move to this one now, too.
Okay.
I would like to find out if the fence facing Gemma's Lane on the opposite side of the street have been taken down.
I will check when I leave here.
Okay. But you don't have to. I mean, it could be for anybody. You don't have somebody.
No, I actually want to check because I checked a couple of days ago and it was still up. So I would like to know.
Okay,
if it was
why
down.
I asked that question,
mm-hmm.
and it's confusing because I keep saying it and people will come down by me and others that the fourth SA is not doing their work.
That
the news media, print, and radio.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you why. I'm repeating this. Miss Undecided. Where's the issue about that fence being there? And she wants to know why it was there. And how the people who are accustomed traveling to get to the beach to get there. And within a short time, all leader, all prime minister, question it too. And I'm quoting her, because you've got to be very careful quoting certain people in Barbados. No, because you can end up in court and got to pay money that you ain't got. Either me or the station. But I heard their voice that the prime minister said, got to come down. But then, what was troublesome, I got someone send a message to me, and I listened to it. And they would say that the property was sold on the 31st of December last year.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Prime Minister say it got a countdown, I would like to know if it's too close to the road, outside the landmark, or things like that. Because if someone bought the land, you can't tell them, don't put up a fence. You can't. Let me move on, because
you have one more other point, because we got 12:21, went up until 1 o'clock.
Mrs., just a second, please. I know how it is with Alvin, and certain callers are.
No, it's not about you. It's about the news and the full board.
Just a minute,
sir, let's not do this today. It's a day before Valentine's, no?
If you don't cross me,
take it easy. You have one more point. Make it, and we will have to move on.
Listen to what I'm saying, Mrs.
Okay, go ahead.
Every time I call Bastards.
There we go. There it is.
Just a minute. Since the 25th of May, I am on a time frame. I was on less than 5 minutes.
Alvin, we do have to go on to the next caller, but listen to me, okay? It's not that. It really isn't. We close off at 1. There's a full board, a whole set of WhatsApp messages. You get on every day. You get your say. Some days are long, some days are short, okay? Make your last point, and we do have to move on, please, with all due respect.
It's not respect, and I want you to know that. I believe it's disrespect. But let me go on to my last one. Don't tell me about respect. It's total disrespect. That certain people could call for 15 or 20 minutes, and then other people ask to speak for 2, 3, 4.
There you go.
Telling them to move.
Let me get my final point.
There's a project going on between Fairfield and Fairchild Street and University of Nelson Street. A building, a fire station, and a temporary market is to be demolished for Monday. All of my life in this country, working within government and etc., government moves like a snail in everything. Even emergencies, they move like a snail. I would like to know, for a government to be going after a project, doing a project, not in a hurry because the contractor has come down the road and the road is going to pass where the building is also. This is a project to put a park or a garden. I would like to know how come it's such a rush? One. And two, I would like to know how come there are 2 ministers of house in the land and the only voice I can hear is a lady's voice. Nobody in government. A lady that nobody voted for. And secondly, before I go
That was already second. Thank you, Alvin.
It's the same thing.
Thank you so much. Really. Thank you. 12:23, we can take one more call before the news break. Dr. Brastax, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good afternoon to you again. It's the first time I ever get on the program because I guess I didn't have much time to.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you got on.
Yes, thanks. This is really important. I will tell you what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
I have an injury, and I've been home on sick leave. This is 10 weeks. I have a sick that is here that depend on me. The medication have to be in the fridge, and upwards to now, I haven't got anything from National Insurance. I have no food. I need some person that could help assist me at this time. Another thing about it is I went to National Insurance twice. One lady said to me, she saw me, she said to me, we all did our part over here. But the other part is to the below the printing. And if we are doing our part here and they're not doing their part there, it ain't nothing that she can do. I went back again this week and I spoke to some person again who told me that they will try to see what they can do after I put my situation to them. Before that, I went to the welfare department after I see things was happening like that, which I don't like doing that. I like to provide for myself. And I found out that they have 2 sets of people there. One is inside that have appointments or whatever, and the other one is outside. You give your name, and I put my name and everything there. Somebody will come to see you. Nobody came. Nobody said anything. And I'm in a serious condition. I don't even know what I'm going to cook to give this person that is ill here. I mean, it is ridiculous for 10 weeks. 10 weeks, and I've been running there, and I cannot get anything done with National Insurance. Every week I work, my money takes out, like other people. And when it's time for me to get back something, nothing is happening. I don't know what to do, where to turn. I'm in a real serious situation now. And I don't know where I can get help from, who can help me, but I need some help and I need urgent.
You need it right
away.
Because
I need something to do, something to cook, something to do. This is real, real serious in this country that you explain your, carry your business and National Insurance. And they're looking at you, this in the welfare department. The welfare department don't help you anywhere. Because I talk to them, and they never even look at my direction. I need help, and I need help now. Really need help. My light bill is to be paid. My water bill is to be paid. And I was hoping that along with paying those and some food, that I will be able to get myself sorted out. I don't know what to do.
All right.
Where to turn.
Can I first of all tell you how hard that is for us listening, even look on the producer's face, that you have nothing today to even cook.
Nothing.
Here is what we not can do, but will do. I will have to do this off the air, of course. And if you can give me until 5 minutes after one, and you can give your number to the producer, I give you my word. And there are people reaching out here too. Let's see how we can help you immediately. And let's see how we can get in contact with the people that have to provide for you regarding the national insurance. But right now, I think it's the more important thing is making sure that you eat today. All right?
Yes, I really appreciate it.
Just make sure you give your number. When we finish the conversation, not we're gone yet, but please give your number to John. Otherwise, I won't be able to get hold of you.
So I'm going to be put over there?
Yeah, okay. You just don't hang up. We can put on to the next call, but don't hang up. All right? All right, we're going to break for the latest news. And when we come back, we do have to finish around 1 o'clock. We'll be back shortly to take the rest of your calls. Welcome back. Well, during the break, we were able to get hold of Samantha Spooner at the NIS building. And I'm proud to report that a check is actually being processed right now for that lady. Kudos to Samantha Spooner. My apologies. And to the staff at the NIS, now, it is unfortunate that people have to call the radio station in order to get some assistance. Now, where we don't mind, and of course we don't, this is a sure sign that the system may be falling through the cracks somewhat and needs tightening up, because then there are other people here talking about their NIS. And certainly as much as we want to sit here and help, we would rather see the system work better and not be the go-between all the time. But again, we are not complaining. We're just saying that this is a reflection of some things in the system that may need tightening up. To the lady, I want to commend you for being brave, first-time caller. And we checked on the situation, not only with her, but in other areas, that this is a legit cause. And she is telling the absolute truth. And we are hopeful to get her check before the end of business today. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Go ahead, Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
I have to say it.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
No, I just going to ask a question and then clear up something. Thankful to Mrs. P.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we send a person up them parliament steps, are they sent there only to represent the people that vote for them, or are they sent there to represent the whole of Barbados taxpayers' money? You understand the question?
Yes. Well, I knew it is. I thought it was rhetorical, but you go ahead. You speak and I will respond after you finish.
Okay. That is the question I'm asking. The next question is, I want to clear up something here that, thanks to Mrs. T, I made a mistake when I spoke the last time on this radio.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Joanne, this is your 91 old friend.
This is
here.
My Valentine.
Your Valentine.
Yes. How are you?
Well, I'm living. I'm not complaining. I shouldn't complain at 91.
No, you shouldn't, actually. But no. Go on. It's always a pleasure to hear you.
I asked Mr. Maskell a question the other day, and he specifically told me that the government cannot give me no more money because it would be a strain on the treasury. I said I was getting $144 a week, which it is $244. Thanks to Miss T, she said she hoped I make a mistake. So I asked Mr. Maskell how it is that these people that is the biggest in the country can get traveling allowance, entertainment allowance. They got advisors, they got contractors, they got deceivers, they got receivers. And I can only get $244 a week after working 77 years out of my time.
Mm-hmm.
He said I didn't tell him the work I used to do. Well, I got down on my head. I got cane plants on my head. I rake trash. I cut grass. I do all of that kind of thing to help build up the country. And now I at 91, I can only get $244 a week. Well, you tell Mr. Maskell, I tell him, we all are going to die someday or the other. And I'm quite satisfied for the little pickings, the little crumbs that I are getting.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't complain about it because the Lord just helped me. But the Wadans are going to eat A-double-L all of us. Thank you, Joel.
Very true. Thank you. And happy Valentine's Day to you. It's the first person I've said it to and the only person I'm going to say it to because you are truly my Valentine. Thank you so much. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Joanne.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Now, I've been listening about the problem with the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there, you might be in an area living where about 4 or 5 buses pass your way. So you can hop into anyone. And when you hop into anyone, you're depriving the person from St. John, who's going to the distal end, from getting a seat on the bus. So I'm wondering if it wouldn't be a good idea that we have express buses, and say express, the first stop would be. So if you get on this bus to get off in Jackson, you're beeswax, you're going to St. Andrew. Because we already told you, you're not taking any shortcuts. And anytime the bus stops there, it's to pick up some person who is going to where no other buses go. Now, the next thing is, I'm wondering about the virus that's going around. And we're saying that we shouldn't get unduly worried and so on and so forth. And we should only listen to people who know what they're saying. The doctor who identified that there was a problem, I read in the paper, he was even warned by the police to stop spreading propaganda. He took a selfie and put it on the whatever you put these things on, so we could all know that it is really was the truth that he found out this thing early, which reminds me of when we had Dr. Charles Burhard. Now, that doctor was sitting there doing his own little thing and realizing there are too many people coming up with this thing. And we down here, you have to listen for yourself, figure it out for yourself, because nobody seems to know exactly how it's being spread and where it's being spread to. And we had the same problem here years ago when we had the first, in 1982, I think it was the first case of AIDS. That doctor, he sat there and he talked to people who he was seeing every day and got information from them. And he came up with the opinion that the young people, not all people, need to do something about their sex lives and their mode of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
but just remember, HIV is a disease of choice. That's
exactly.
Different. Okay?
So you had to change your lifestyle, mm-hmm. and you had to protect yourself against that. So mm-hmm. we ran the man out of town. We had a preacher who was going to church and telling the people, you don't have to dress up like you're going to the coronation. And come on to church anyhow. We got rid of him. Thanks so much, Joanne.
Thank you so much, too. Down to Brass Tacks, 12:55. Let's take another call. Last call, probably. Good afternoon. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air. Go ahead, down to Brass Tacks.
Yes, please. You can hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, I have to speak quickly.
That's, you got 4 minutes. That's fine. Oh, that's long.
Okay,
enough.
I can relate to what the lady is saying about the welfare department.
Mm-hmm.
Because I spoke recently to Dennis Johnson this week
mm-hmm.
in connection with 2 persons who have mental challenges. And they normally get a review to come into the welfare to make sure that things are still the same for them to get their welfare grant. Now, no one sent out the letter. So I called on their behalf. And imagine, the person had to go on the computer to set up a date, which is on the 19th of March. Now, these two persons have not received anything for this month. They will not receive anything for next month, not until they go in for the review. So these two people, they're hungry. Not that I call them because of the lady saying that she's hungry, mm-hmm. but these persons are also hungry because they have not received their checks. No one told them anything. You ask for a voucher, you can't get it. You're trying to locate the senior officers. You can't get to speak to any of the officers at the welfare on behalf of these people. So there are people out there that have situations. They may not be able to come on air and speak about what is happening, but these things are real. So these two persons, they didn't have anything
but,
either.
But do you know what's really sad? Is I'm not quite sure if the individuals who have jobs to do don't think that they're going to be in front of somebody that they're going to depend on at some point in time. And it's really sad to see, regrettable, that people can be at home waiting for pension checks, and then everybody blames a minister. I don't care if it's D or B. The point is, the minister is the minister, yes, but then there are people on the ground who have to process things, who have to answer telephones. That impacts your life, my life, somebody's life. Then you've got to make another phone call to somebody else. This is why, in closing, I want to commend people like the CEO of the Transport Board, Fabian Wharton. He sits in an office occasionally because he's always on the ground making sure he knows what's going on with the people. There are people in government offices that I do know for sure that would get out there and help people. It is unfortunate that it is not in the majority. Even when I remember being at Water Authority, it doesn't matter if you're in a meeting. If you need to be interrupted, you should be interrupted. For, as far as I'm concerned, they're having too many meetings and meetings on meetings anyway. And that's what the problem is that there are not enough people in the government, and not only just government, private sector too. That lady has no right to be at home not being able to eat because somebody did not process her check. People have no right to be suffering because other individuals decided that they're going to get up this morning and go to work and do nothing. You know, so that makes me a little angry, but I want to thank you so much for your contribution. Thank all of the callers. To my 91-year-old friend, happy Valentine's Day. And until we all meet again, God bless.